everybody here tonight. I'm going to, you know, when I started ministering on this, this is a tough subject. It's a tough subject. It is. It's a tough subject to live, and it's a tough subject to minister on. It is. And that's exactly what I came to. I came to the place I said, God, where do I stop? You know, this can just go on and on. Am I on? Okay. This can just go on and on and on because, you know, there's so many facets to it. There is. There's so many aspects to walking in the holiness of God. And you know, I'm just trying to pick out a couple of important things. And even those couple of important things you can minister on for a year. You know, it's, you know, and I know all of you, especially all of you in here involved in ministry, know that. I mean, the Word of God just is unbelievable. And it all meshes together. And it all, you know, and you can just go from one thing to the other. So I'm going to do a lot of review tonight because I really feel like the things I've hit on the last couple of weeks are probably two of the most vital things in overcoming. And then I'm going to hit on a third area. And I prayed over this and I prayed over this because I wanted to go in so many different ways. And so I'm going to touch on it in the end, but I'm going to talk a little bit about obedience to His will. Because that's vitally important in doing what we're called to do. You know, I wanted to end it on this real lovey-dovey kind of thing. And make y'all real happy and say, you know, really just lift you. But listen, the thing is about the Word of God, if we're listening to what it says, even though it seems hard, it's still lifting us up. It's still good, and it's lifting us up. And if we'll listen to it and apply it, and you know, and listen to it by our spirit and apply it to our life, it's always encouraging to us. You know, I used to always say, and I've always told Mitch, because I've sat under, of course, Pastor Vickers and Pastor Norris and for the last, and you know, for Pastor Brian, you know, for the last, what, 15, 16 years. And I would always leave there with my toes just black and blue, you know. But I always told Mitch, I said, if I don't go to a church where the preacher steps on my toes, I need to go find another church. Because I need to grow. And the only way I'm going to grow is if I start, and I'm willing to look at those things in my life that don't look like Jesus. And my pastors have caused me to do that. And I appreciate that so much. You know, between them and God, you know, there was no way out. There was no escape because I tried. So anyway, we have been reading, and I'm going to read it again this week. And again, I've read it every week because I think this is vital scripture. In 2 Peter 1, and I'm going to go verses 1 through 11. This week I'm reading it out of the NIV. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Notice that it's His power. And I'm going to talk about that some tonight because I want to make sure we understand that we've got a part to play, but we don't do it by ourselves. You know, it is by His power. So I want us to take note of that. Because we're going to talk a little bit about that. I haven't bought a lot out about it, but I'm going to talk about that some tonight. It's His divine power that has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. Again, same thing I've been talking about. Getting to know Him more and more. Becoming more knowledgeable of who He is, what His Word says, and how He speaks to us. And then as we use that knowledge to know Him more, then His power is the one that brings us through it. Okay, so that we want to look at that a little bit. Okay, through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to goodness knowledge and to knowledge self-control and to self-control perseverance and to perseverance godliness and godliness brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, we got to have these things operating in our life. For us to become more productive, it says, and more knowledgeable of Him, we've got to start letting these things be productive in our life. In other words, we've got to start changing ourselves to look a little bit more like Him. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgiven that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Again, we're talking about overcoming. So I'm going to review back over, and it's probably for part a lot of the time I'm going to talk about some of the things we've already talked about, maybe bring a little bit of different aspect to some of it. And I want, because I need for all of us to understand the importance of changing, the importance of taking on the responsibility of doing it, the importance of being determined to do it and persevering through it. You know, we know God and we know him in his resurrection. You know, we walk by faith, we received him, we believed in him, but there's also another aspect to him, and that's, and again, I've talked about that, it's about knowing him in his sufferings. It's about knowing him by overcoming our flesh and changing those things that don't look like him. We didn't, you know, when we came to him, I don't know about you guys, but I was a mess. You know, I was a wreck. My life was a wreck. My mind was a wreck. And I've had to go through a lot of changing and constantly doing that. Constantly, Mitch can tell you, he's the one that has to deal with it. You know, constantly changing. Because when we come to him, we're not perfect. And we're never going to be until he comes. But the thing we've got to know is that we're working towards it. That we're continually trying every day to be a little bit more like him. And even when I fall down, that's okay. He still loves me. And I'm going to still get back up because I'm going to make it. I am determined to make it, and I will make it. So every time we die to a fleshly habit, every time we overcome something that doesn't look like him, every time I overcome a stronghold in my life, I look a little bit more like him. I get to know him a little bit more, and I get to fellowship with him a little bit more, and I get to see more of him. See, listen, I know plenty of people who walk right and talk. They can walk the walk and talk the talk, but on the inside, they're falling apart. See, it's the inside, and God sees our heart. He sees those things on the inside. We don't want to just look right on the outside. Now, we do have to do some things in the flesh to start taking steps toward it. We have to have positive things coming out of our mouth and things like that, but we want to be right through and through. I want my inside to be right, and I want it, and then it's going to be reflected on the outside, and it's going to be real. It's not going to be me just speaking and saying this. It's going to be real when I overcome it. When I'm not jealous anymore, or when I'm not bitter anymore, it's going to be real. When I'm healed in my spirit, it's going to be real, and people will know the difference. You will know the difference. So, I was thinking, I've built several houses in my lifetime. I hope not to build too many more. It's tough, especially with Mitch. But you ever met a man? He likes to decorate as much as I do. That's why. And so we clash. So, but I was thinking how, you know, you can look at a beautiful home. And on the outside, it can just look great. I mean, everything about it looks perfect. And I've actually had this happen. When we lived in a house in Millbrook, the house was great. The yard was beautiful. We had a pool. I mean, Mitch kept the yard just manicured. It was beautiful. It really was a great home. But that's what happened when they came to do the inspection when we sold the house. We had termites. Yep, ruh-roh, was right. If you live in Alabama, you're going to have termites at one point in time in your life. but what it is, and I got to thinking about it when that happened. And how everything looked wonderful on the outside, but on the inside, the termites were eating away. And any of you people involved in the building industry, you know that. They were eating away at the beams that were holding the house together. And had that not come a time that we actually found the termites, eventually we might have had some walls come tumbling down. And not the way we wanted them to either. Not by God's divine hand, you know. So a lot of times things we see on the outside aren't what's on the inside. And God looks on the heart. And that's why we want for him, when he looks down on us, we want him to see him. I want him to see a reflection of himself in me. Amen. I want to be more and more like him. So, you know, that's the reason that, you know, in our life, we can act right, we can look right, we can say all, and some people call it those Christianese, is that what I've heard people say, Christianese things, but on the inside, we're falling apart because we're not willing to deal with the things in our life that don't look like him. You know, we aren't building, when we're talking about building a house here, we're not talking about building a house made out of brick and, well, down here, I guess, stucco, but we're not talking about building a house like that. We're talking about building a spiritual house. We're talking about building something that's gonna be a lifetime thing. It's not gonna be done in 6 months. When I start working on the things in my life that don't look like God, I'm not gonna work on them 3 months like they built my house maybe in 4 or 5 months, whatever how long it took. And then it was done. And they were finished with it. And builders moved on. They didn't have to come back. But building this spiritual house isn't going to be like that. It's going to be constant. It's going to be constantly taking the time to look at ourselves and say, God, what is it in me that doesn't look like you? And you know, he's making me deal with something in my life. And you know, every time I have to deal with something, I think it's the hardest thing I've ever had to deal with. But it's not. But every time I've gone to minister on something, he always makes me walk through that place. And I know through this, he's caused me to look at an area of my life that doesn't look like him. And I know it doesn't. And now I'm having to stop and look at it and say, God, you know what? I can't do this by myself. You know, I've been like this my whole life. You know, it's now, and I'm not going to tell y'all how old y'all I am, but it's been a long time. I've been like this. And I'm not going to change overnight. And God, I need you to help me. Because it does. So if we want to know God and all the plans and purposes of his life, then we've got to have that desire in our heart, a desire to know him more and more and more. This means that we become consecrated to him. We become consecrated to him. That means we're committed not only to him and not only when things are going good, but when things are going bad. We're still consecrated to him. We're still walking and hanging tough when everything around us seems like it's falling apart and our world is falling down. When we are consecrated, we are still walking forward, hanging on and knowing who is in control. And it's not me. I'll tell you that. It is not me. So we have to, you know, we've got to be consecrated. We've got to make up our minds we're going to serve. And we've got to make up our minds we're going to change. We've got to be determined to do this. And as we do this, our dedication is going to grow and grow and grow. And more determination is going to be there. And we're going to have a made up mind. And we're going to walk through. And that made up mind is going to carry us through every situation we face when we are determined to do it. We've got to have determination. Listen, if we're going to grow, we're going to change. And that's all there is to it. And I know that's not a real lovable subject, I guess. I don't know. It's not something that people are going to get up and shout about. But I'm going to tell you what, when you walk free from the burdens of life that you don't know you have, you will shout. Because there's nothing like being free from the strongholds of life. There's nothing like not having to be jealous or not being bitter or not being unforgiving or not being angry or not. There's nothing like it. You've got to be free. It is amazing what God can do. It is. And then we read, and I'm still reviewing. And then we read 1 John 5. We read 1 John 5, and that for everyone who born of God overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he that believed in Jesus the Son. So remember, the first requirement we learned was you got to believe. First thing is, you've got to believe. You've been saved, but you've got to believe in Jesus. You've got to know that he died on the cross for you. You've got to know that he shed his blood for you. And that because he did this, you are an overcomer. And you can deal with anything you are facing, no matter how little, no matter how big it may seem in your life. There's nothing too little, and there's nothing too big for God. Nothing. Nothing he won't do. Excuse me. It also says in the word, when we are born again, we are a new creature created in Christ Jesus for good works. We now become a new man. We've taken off the old man, supposedly. We talked about that last week, how so many times when we're trying to face the things in our life and overcome them, we're not willing to take off that old man. We got to be willing to do that in order to put on the new man. The Bible talks about pouring, you know, the new wine into old wineskins. So we have to be careful. See, change involves removing the old as well as putting on the new. That means not only am I going to start looking different, but I got to start getting rid of some of this stuff that's hanging on there. And I've got to change. You know, our flesh remained the same. And you know that when we got saved, our flesh didn't go away. If mine's still here, it's hanging tough too. Let me tell you, it does. It hangs tough. Every day I have to deal with it. So do you. Boy, I'd love to get up. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get up and not have to deal with the flesh? And just, you know, and we just did everything perfect and just did everything God wanted us to do. And we didn't question anything. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. That's when that's going to happen. I was thinking when we were talking about changes, when talking about changing in our life, I work for a company out of Montgomery. God blessed me to be able to work from home after we moved down here. And we build prisons and jails all over the country, all over the world, actually. And I got to, and I've been working in sales and marketing, and I've been learning. I worked as an office manager before, but I'm learning a whole lot more about the mechanics of the jails than I ever wanted to know. I am not a mechanic, and I didn't want to learn all about all these locks, and I didn't think I was going to have to, but boy, I'm learning a lot of stuff as I talk with the maintenance people and the facilities managers in these jails. I'm talking with people all over the United States every day. And one of the first things that came up, I remember, in one of my calls was this gentleman at a facility said, well, do you do retrofit? And I had to think about that a minute. I said, retrofit. Now, I know I've heard that before. I know we've done jobs that were retrofit, but I didn't know what it was. And I didn't know what to say because I didn't want to look like I didn't know what I was talking about. And I said, well, yes, sir, we do. And I kind of go move on. but after that question was that, boy, I went to find out what it was, you know. So I got on the phone. I called the service manager and I said, listen, somebody just asked me about a retrofit job. You need to tell me what that is. And when I found out what retrofit, and most of you men probably know, I'm sure, maybe many of the ladies, and I probably should have, but one of the things we do is we put locking systems in prisons. So we do all the locks and everything, the sliders and things where, you know, that we shut the doors. So what happens when you get in an old facility where the locks and everything are really old and all the doors are old, but they don't want to replace all the stuff because it's very, very expensive? They'll do what they call retrofit. And what they'll do is remove all the old locks and all the old stuff that's on the inside that's they can't shut now because it won't shut good. The locks won't turn. It's worn out. And it won't do what it's supposed to do. And they have to slam them shut, and they still won't work, and the keys won't turn. And what they do is they remove all that junk out of there that no longer works and doesn't look right, and they put in new stuff. And they put in this stuff. Now, you can't always see it from the outside the way the doors are made because a lot of the doors slide together like this. I told you I'm learning about mechanics. And so anyway, but what happens when they put those new fittings in there? And they have to custom make these now. See, they can't just go from one prison to another and all these are going to work. They have to custom make them, each of the locks for each prison, depending on what kind of doors. Some of them are very antiquated, and it's really a lot of but when they put those new locks in, when they put that new stuff in there, boy, those doors begin to slide. They begin to lock. Everything begins to look right. Everything begins to work right. Everything, you know, everything is, and that's just the way it is in our life. I thought about that, and I said, retrofit, that's what God's done to me. Yeah. He's helped me take the stuff out of my life that isn't working right. It's stuff that don't work right. It's stuff that's condemning and condescending and critical and judgmental and argumentative and and jealous and envy and bitterness and unforgiveness. He's helped me to take all that stuff out of my life that wasn't working and put stuff in there that does work, which is his fruit. And I thought, so I learned what retrofit was in this process too. Real quickly, some of the things we went over, I just named a lot of the things that we deal with: anger and envy and jealousy and worry and self-discipline and fear and hatred and pride and failure and greed and rejection, unforgiveness, control issues, critical and judgmental spirits, laziness, bitterness, self-esteem, low self-esteem, frustration, anxiety, depression. Those are just some of the things we deal with. And when we start to deal with these things, be determined to walk through it. Stay with it. Don't let go of it. I don't care how hard it gets up, if it gets, if you fall down, just pick yourself back up. Don't beat yourself up. Don't criticize yourself. Don't do that. Because if we start condemning ourselves over the things that we do wrong, you know what? We'll never get right. Because we'll just live in a world of self-condemnation. And condemnation is not from God. It is not. So if you hear yourself talking back down to yourself, you better let your spirit man say, hey, this isn't God. God does not do that. He does not do that. I used to live in a world of self-condemnation until one day I realized, and in Romans it says, I don't have to do that. So when you fall down, yeah, you're going to make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. Don't beat yourself up. That's not God. Keep positive words in your mouth. Keep them flowing. keep the word of God in your heart. Know it. You don't have to know it verbatim. You don't have to be like Brother Bruce is and know every scripture in the Bible and exactly how to say it. But you know the word of God, that I am a conqueror. I am an overcomer. I am saved by the blood of Jesus, you know. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me is condemned. Know the word of God. Have it in your heart. And speak it over yourself when you begin, when you make mistakes. Realize it's just a mistake. I'm going to keep going. In Philippians 3, Paul tells us we got to press in. And that's what he's talking about. Make up your mind to never give up. Never, never, never give up. Amen. Ever. Kenneth Hagin Jr. has got a new book out. And it's called I Am Determined and I Will Never Quit or something. I've got the book. I've read most of it. And it really ministered to me that that's exactly what we've got to be. I am determined and I will never quit. You know what? I'm going to make mistakes, but I am not going to ever stop trying. Because that's what we have to do. We don't beat ourselves up over the things that we've done wrong, but we keep trying and we, you know, as long as we're trying, as long as we're going forward, we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. And that's right where he wants us. We talked a lot about being patient through it. This is what we talked about last week. We talked about being patient. And patience and determination go hand in hand. We're patient through it. That's how we act while we're walking through it. Are we going to be patient and wait on God? Are we going to take things into our own hands and start trying to do it ourselves? And when we're not patient, when we start to try to take things into our own hands, we start walking in the flesh. We get our eyes off of Jesus and we get our eyes on our flesh and we're not going to make it. We're going to fail. So we got to be patient in the process of this. God has a time, an appointed time for the breakthrough, and you will make it if you will be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Wait on God. He knows when the time is. He knows this. He's got a perfect timing for every aspect of your life. Everything that he wants to do in your life has timing involved. And every time I know, and I've said this before, but almost every time that I have given up on something, if I would have just waited 2 more days, if I would have just waited 2 more hours, if I would have just waited 1 more month, God would have answered. Be patient. Wait on him. Every time you feel on the inside, you're like, oh, I can't do this. You start looking backwards. You know, you start looking back. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have done this. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. You start looking at it and God's just, he's up there and he's saying, just wait. Just wait. Be patient. See, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And when we were saved, that fruit was placed in us. Now, that fruit is not going to grow unless we nourish it. So, in order for that fruit of patience to grow, that means I've got to start learning to be patient. And I am not a patient person. So, choose to walk in patience. And let me move on, or I'm not going to get done again. So this time we are waiting. We're developing our relationship with him. That's what he wants. I told you before, and I believe this with all my heart, that God is more concerned about my development than he is my deliverance. If he can help me develop, he will deliver me. I know. I've seen it happen too many times in my life. He wants us to be developed because he wants, during this time, he wants us to learn to pray, to learn to meditate and read his word, to be in church, to hear the spoken word. He wants us to do all those things that draw us into a closer relationship with him. If I don't read his word, I'm not going to know him. You know, I can pray. But I need to be in his word too. And he wants us to develop all these things that will draw us closer to him. During this time that we're waiting, that's what we're doing. And we're getting to know him more and more and more. We're getting to know him. You know, God's not up in heaven. You know, he's not sitting up there just sitting there waiting to respond to our every beck and need. He's not doing that. That is not what he's doing. You know what? He wants us to look like him. But he wants us to learn to be patient while we're doing it. To not get upset, not get discouraged, to be willing to stay in there no matter how long it takes. Let me tell you a story here. I have a friend in Montgomery, and she told me this story years and years ago. And she said that they live in Millbrook, and she said one spring, early summer. Says she went out in her yard, and I don't think you have holly bushes down here. It's not cold enough, is it? So, well, up there we have holly bushes. And she says she went out and said her husband was getting ready to kind of trim the holly bushes. And she says she looked down, and this beautiful flower was coming up in between, trying to get up into the holly bushes. She said, I have no idea where it came from. I mean, I don't know that much about plants. But she said it wasn't a weed. She said it was a beautiful flower. She said it was gorgeous. She was telling me about the colors on it. And it said, she said, Paulette, it was beautiful. Somebody could have planted it years before. Or maybe it'd be dormant. I don't know. I don't know enough about plants to know that. But she said it was so beautiful. And her husband's like, oh, I'll just dig it up and throw it out. And she's like, no way, Marshall. That flower is beautiful. And she just appreciated the beauty of the flower. And she said, no, I want you to dig it up. I want you to go around, dig everything, dig all the roots up. You know, dig it up, and we'll plant it somewhere else in the yard. And he said, okay. So they took it out to the corner of the fence and little area there, and they planted it. And she said it would start, you know, it was coming. Well, next thing they knew, the next-door neighbor ran over it with the lawnmower. So flower was gone. She said she didn't say anything, you know, said flower started coming back again. Said next thing she knew, here it came again. Next thing she knew, the neighbor ran over it again. I guess he thought it was a weed or something. So anyway, she said this happened 3 or 4 times. She don't remember. She said several times it happened. She just finally kind of gave up, you know, said, well, you know. Well, then she said she went out there one day, and that flower had gone up under the fence and come up on the other side. It did. The flower actually came up, and it said it was blooming as beautiful as it had ever been. And when she told me that story, I thought, man, that's a flower. And what a story of determination to be everything that God had put in that flower to be, to blossom and bloom. And I said, what a determination and what patience. It got mowed down 5 times. It got pulled up, and that flower still bloomed. And yet, we are so many times, and I say we because I include myself always, we are willing to give up. And if we just had a little bit more determination, a little bit more patience, God would deliver us and we would be whole and we'd be free. So it's stay determined, stay focused to overcome. You know, sometimes when we're facing these things and we're dealing with something on our life, sometimes God just needs to get us to a place. And I know you've been there and I've been there where I'm just get somewhere and I just, God, I can't do it. I cannot do it anymore, God. I can't. And the tears will just begin to flow. I just say, God, I cannot do it. I can't. And I've got mad at him. I said, if I can't do it, God, you've got to do it. I put it on him because he told me he'd carry my burdens. He told me he would do that. So when I'm facing something that I need to overcome, I can't do it, but he can. And sometimes we have to get to that place when we're facing these things in our life, and we just have to get before him and we have to cry and we have to tell him, God, I cannot do this by myself. If you don't help me, it's not going to happen. And you know what he'll say? He said it to me so many times. Good. You're right where I want you. He wants us in a place where he can work and mold us into what he wants us to be. And he cannot do that if we're not willing just to give it up to him and just say, God, you do it. I can't. I'm willing to do it, but I can't. So you got to do it. This is what I wanted to talk about here. We have parts in this. Part of it's our responsibility. Part of it's God's responsibility. And we've got to be willing to face our responsibility of owning up to there's something in my life that isn't right. And you know what? I need to get rid of it because it doesn't look like him. And then we need to start making the steps we know to do, but we cannot do it without him. He is going to be our support. He is going to be our strength. He is the only way we are going to make it. He is it. He's it. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it. So, I said last week, you can't change anybody but yourself. And you can't even change yourself without him. I've learned that. I've tried too many times to change myself, and I tried for 25 years to change Mitch. And you know he didn't change a bit. And you know what I found out? I found out I was the one that needed to change. And if we'll look at it, life that way and just say, God, just do in me what you can do. Because that's who I'm responsible for is me, Ann. That's who I'm responsible for. I'm not responsible for anybody but me and about changing. Okay. Last area, and I probably did pretty good on my time. The last area I want to talk about is obedience. Okay, so far we've learned. We got to face the obstacle. We got to be determined. We got to endure, and we got to be patient. We got to do all those things to get through it. Now, when God created us, he gave us a free will. He did. He said, you can do what you want to do. I'm not going to make you do anything. He said, it is entirely up to you. You can do exactly what you want to do. It's your choice. And for most of us, I know me, for the better part of, well, for a good part, over half of my life, that's exactly what I did. Exactly what I wanted to do. And then even for a lot of my time that I was saved, I did the same thing. Exactly what I wanted to do. And I didn't listen to him. See, I think it'd probably been a whole lot easier on God if we'd just all been robots. You know, so we wouldn't have to, you know, we would just do whatever he told us to do. And we wouldn't question him. You know, we would just do it. But you know what? That's not what God wanted. God wanted a people with a free will, people who would choose to honor him, people who would choose to worship him, people who would choose to serve him. I mean, it's just like having children. My son, it's very important to me that my son does things for me, not just out of an act, but out of an act of love. He doesn't just do something because he feels it's his responsibility. He does it because he loves me. And that's important. And that's, God feels the same way, even more so. God wants people who love him and who are willing to serve him out of their own heart, out of their own choices, not because he's going to make them. It's just like having a friend who hangs around you just because someone told them they had to. What kind of friend is that? You know, I don't want someone hanging around with me just because their mother told them they had to hang out with me. That's not a friend. And that's, God's the same way. He don't want us just hanging out with him because we feel like we have to. Now, sometimes we have to do things by will, but he wants us hanging out with him because we love him, because we are obedient, because we do want to fulfill his will, because we do want to do what he wants us to do. We want to enjoy our relationship with him. And that's what he wants. So, and he's going to, if we will play our part of choosing to do it, choosing to face the things, choosing to accomplish his will in our life, if we will do all that, then he's going to support us by finishing what we've started. He's going to come in and he's going to be down. Every time we fall down, he's going to pick us back up. He's going to be right there encouraging us and telling us, you can do it. You can do it. You can make it. Jesus died for you and you can do it. Because we have this relationship with him. And along with that relationship, though, came the responsibility of changing. Being conformed to his will. Being like him, taking part in his holiness. In his Bible, in the word, it says, be holy because I am holy. I wrote a bunch of scriptures down and I'm not going to read them all, but there's a lot in the word that talks about conforming and being like him and having all the characteristics of God. So it is his will and his desire for us to do that. And it is up to us to be obedient to what he wants. It's an act of obedience. Whenever we face something in our life, it's an act of obedience to him because he's told us to do that. He's told us he wants us to change. He's told us he wants us to be more like him and to honor him with everything that we are. You know, he's not going to make us do anything, nothing. He's not going to make us love each other. He is not going to make us forgive people. He is not going to make us not be angry. He is not going to make us not be jealous. He is not going to make us not be envious. He's not going to make us not be determined. He's not going to make us do anything. He's not. He wants us to make those choices in obedience to what his word says. Acts of obedience, that's what we're doing. When we decide to change everything in us that don't look like him, we are just doing acts of obedience. But we got to decide in our own mind if we're going to do it. Again, it's up to us. He is not going to make you do anything. He's not going to make me do anything. Sometimes I just wished he would. I do. It'd just be a lot easier. Just a whole lot easier if he'd just do it. You know, just God, just make me do it. Do like my mom did. You know, just beat me with a shoe. You know, whatever. Make me do it. You know. Of course, I don't think that worked anyway. So. we've known each other since high school, so he knows me from high school. I don't know that that's a good thing, but so at this point we are bringing our will in line with God's will, and that's the whole goal, is to get in line with what God wants to do in our lives. Being obedient to him, honoring him by, you know, challenging ourselves to change and to look like him. You know, when we do this, when we say, God, you know what, I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to start changing. We've opened up ourselves to deliverance. We've opened up ourselves to development. We've opened up ourselves to change by just saying, God, I want to do it. I can do it, but I need you to help me. Don't try to do it by yourself. Now, here's what happens. There's some people who thinks God's going to do the whole thing. Well, God, I know I'm really angry and bitter and critical and judgmental and I don't forgive people. And I'm just, so God, just change me. Yeah, right. Believe on. So there's that group of people who just say, okay, God, you take care of it. Then there's a group of people, so they don't make it. They fail because they haven't taken on the responsibility that they were supposed to by being obedient to what the Word of God says about facing the obstacles in your life that come between you and him. But then there's this other group of people over here who decide they can do it all themselves. So I'm going to, oh, you know what? I can do this. I can do this. I don't, you know, God, I don't need you to help me. No, I can, I'm strong and I can do this and I don't need your help. And you know what happens to them? They fall. See, this is a joint effort. It's a joint effort between us and the Holy Spirit to honor God by being in line with his will in our lives. We can't do it without us, and we definitely can't do it without him. He is. In the word it says, now, this is a confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we are asked of him. Now, that can apply to a lot of different things. Right now, I'm talking about dealing with obstacles in your life. So if you're facing something and you say, God, I need you to help me overcome this, that scripture covers you. He said he's going to do it. But you got to get in line with his will and you got to do what he wants. It lets us know that John was confident in the will of the Father. John was very confident and he knew that God was going to answer him. He never doubted that God would do what he said he would do. And that's the same confidence that we have as we're pursuing God, as we're trying to walk out the will of God in our lives by being obedient to what he said. You know what? Every one of us has the will to overcome. You know, And we have too much in us, too much of God in us, not to be overcomers. Amen. We have too much of God in us to let our flesh rule us, too much of God in us to let the devil rule us. We have too much of God in us to let people rule us. We have no right. We are overcomers. And we have got to make up our minds. And I say we because, again, I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you. We have got to be determined in our spirit to be more and more like him. Every day, be more and more like him. So don't let the struggles of life stop you. Don't let the devil stop you. Don't let people stop you. Don't let anything stop you from being everything that God has called you to be. Don't let anything stop you. I don't care what it is. Just keep on keeping on. See, as long as the devil can keep our attention diverted through our strongholds, he's got it made. As long as he can keep me in a state of anger, he can play on that. And he can play on that. And he can play on that. And he'll keep me diverted. And he'll keep me, that'll be a little wall that's between me and God, because God's now got to come through that to get to me. So as long as the devil can keep me on that and focus on those things, he's great. Now, are we going to go to heaven? Absolutely. And he knows that. But you know what? He also knows, you know what? If I can keep them diverted, if I can keep them, you know, face looking at seeing their strongholds, if I can keep them living in anger and critical and judgmental spirits, he said, they're not going to get anything accomplished for God. They're not going to be all that he's called them to be. You know, yeah, they'll go to heaven and that's okay. But you know what? They may not do on earth what he wants them to do. So he wants to keep us diverted because he does not want God's will accomplished in this earth. He doesn't want that to happen. Not saying you won't ever do anything for God. That's not mean. We're all going to do something for God. But there's plans and purposes that are bigger than we could ever dream of, that he has for every one of us. Amen. That's right, God's best. So when we align our will with the will of the Father, he gives us the power to take a hold of everything we face. It doesn't matter what it is. It don't matter how little again and how big it is. And you know what else? You know what is so good? I learned about this a few years back. His grace. Yes. Oh, my goodness. When I'm facing something and I think I can't carry it and I've had it, I'll think about his grace. His grace that causes me to rise above anything I'm facing. His grace that holds me up when I'm walking through it. Rely on him. Trust in him. Look to him when you're walking through it. Remember what he says. Go to the word. He's there to hold you up and he's there to lift you up. See, it's more important to him that you're set free than it is to us. He wants us free and he wants us whole and he wants us obedient. He loves us. He loves us so much. So no matter what is standing in your way, and I'm going to close here. No matter what's standing in your way, if you will align yourselves with him, do what he, you know, listen to him. Listen to the Holy Spirit as he talks to you and reveals to you the things in your life that we need to change. If you will do that, you know what? God's going to cause you to rise up and walk, and you're going to overcome everything. It's going to get easier and easier and easier. And every obstacle you overcome, like I said, I always think it's the hardest is the next one. But you know what I've really found out? It actually gets easier and easier. Because the closer we get to him, the quicker we are to listen. We can hear more clearly now. And we're willing to, you know, let the... We get to a place, I think, when you face so much stuff in your life and you say, oh my gosh. And you get to a place and you just say, okay, God, what do you want? I know you want something to change. And we give it up easier, I think, when we get to a place where we're willing to say, I'm not going to fight you about it. It doesn't matter anymore. I don't care what people think. I don't care. Because what the world sees as strong, God sees as weak. And in our character, we want the character of God, not the character of this world. Amen. I'm going to read one more scripture. I think I have. And then I'm going to let Pastor Norris, let me find it. In Philippians 1:11, I'm going to close with this. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. So that's how we honor him. We're saved, and we now have the righteous character of Christ, and that's because we face the things in our life that don't look like him. So I'm going to close there. Don't ever, ever forget in all of this, and though it's a little hard, I know, never forget how much God loves you. And that his love and his grace and his mercy will see you through. It's done it to me a million times and still working. Just learn to walk in though. And see, there's a whole nother subject, so I better shut up, huh? Thank you.